The number one Costa Rica real estate and investment podcast, bringing you experts from all over Costa Rica.
Good morning, guys, and welcome to episode 196 of Costa Rica Real Estate and Investments with me, your host, Richard Beckson. Today, we're going to be talking with Maria Marta Alfaro Chamberlain. She's a financial analyst, realtor, and board member of Playa Hermosa del Carrillo Development Association. There are many Playa Hermosas here in Costa Rica, but this is the one that's up in northern Guanacaste by Playas del Coco. So we're going to be talking to her about what's happening in the market and also the approach that she takes when analyzing investments in Costa Rica. It's going to be interesting to get her viewpoint on this and also ask her some interesting questions as well. Well, for anyone out there that's looking to do anything in Costa Rica, guys, feel free to reach out to us, info@investingcostarica.com. That's info@investingcostarica.com. You can speak to one of the specialists for free here in the office. In the description down below, there'll be a link for a free consultation. Also on our website, it's the button that says book a call. So whether you're looking to make an investment in a rental return property here, looking to build, looking to do commercial, or just want some help on kind of getting some direction here in Costa Rica. Basically, people hire us to be on your side of the transaction, looking out for your interests, and making sure you have the information to make an informed decision here in Costa Rica. Again, info@investingcostarica.com. But let's get straight into the podcast. Good morning, Maria Marta. How are you?
Good morning, Richard. Thank you for having me in your space. I'm delighted to be a part of your projects. I've heard amazing things about you and amazing things about your projects. I didn't realize you were involved in so many things that have affected positively Costa Rican community. It's thank you. I really admire that about you, and I admire that you're bilingual.
Not at all. Yeah, I mean, well, to live in Costa Rica for so many years, I mean, it's, you know, very difficult not to be. I think if you're going to do anything in this country, you need to be able to speak Spanish anyway. And, you know, I don't think it's that difficult a language to learn. French was definitely a lot more difficult, that's for sure.
Oh, if you went through French, Spanish is much easier.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, appreciate your kind words, Maria Marta. I mean, let me get straight into the podcast here. I mean, you know, markets of 2024 are kind of been a little, you know, they've been okay. They've been pretty good, actually. You know, real estate, though, has not been great kind of worldwide, you know, with rising interest rates, or what now I would say stable higher interest rates. You know, we're not seeing the movement that we did in the real estate market before. I mean, but what's happening here in Costa Rica, and especially in your area of the country?
Well, what's happening, I think, in investments around the world, it's that people are realizing the importance of diversification.
Yep.
And so if you have your money invested only in a certain kind of asset, or if you're too invested in just one industry, one country, one region, that makes you vulnerable.
Yeah.
And more people want to have a worldwide diversification that makes them strong. And real estate is always going to be a good investment.
Yeah.
So if you are short on that side, Costa Rica presents an amazing opportunity, just because we keep being like the best social democracy in the world, with great social institutions and things that can be implemented that practically protect the investors and beyond what they can imagine. I think that Costa Rica is to international investors like what my Mac computer is to me. I know I underuse it because I'm not qualified to use it,
yep,
but it does such marvelous things for me that if I only talk to the experts, I could be using more of my Mac computer than I do, for example.
That's a great way to look at it. I've never heard that kind of expression, Maria Marta, but yeah, I mean, I agree. You speak to the experts in Costa Rica, and there's a lot more that you could be doing here. So, I mean, give us an idea of the work that you do, if you don't mind me asking.
Well, I could tell you, like everybody in real estate does, that we have like the best properties and that we're client oriented and that we're service oriented and that we'll get to know you and take you by the hand and pamper you and just make it things simple for you. But what we do different in my venture that I cannot yet tell you the name because we're starting this venture is my associates and I, better calling me right now. My associates and I we orchestrate. And we specialize in having connections in with all the different experts in the different areas, because what was lacking in the market was somebody who was connected with everybody and everything. So what we do different is we consult in not only construction development, but we consult in community development. So that expertise makes us different, because when we get to know our clients' needs, yep, we know what kind of community they want to live in, and we know the social democratic tools that they have to be happy here. So taxes, for example, that's something that everybody is concerned about. So they are concerned about taxes, and they are only wanting to talk to lawyers to know, how do I do this with my taxes from the country I come from, and then being taxes in Costa Rica and this and that. And then they say, oh my God, Costa Rica has such a high sales tax. It's 13%. But they have no idea that they have a human rights treaty that protects them into being part of a community. And that by law, 2% of that sales tax goes directly into communities. Yeah. And if they organize, they can get advantages for that. And they can have their own corporations working for their own things, like, for example, transport, waste management, whatever they're interested in their communities.
Wow. I mean, can you give us an idea of some projects that you've worked on, kind of work that you do? I mean, you'd mentioned there, you know, kind of community. I saw, you know, that you're involved in a few ONGs here, Manny Marta. I mean, give us an idea of some of that work.
Well, for example, I have owned a property in Playa Hermosa since 2007. And I bought it knowing that I was going to come and live here when my children grew up. So I sold my property in, I used to live in Montaña del Sol in the Santa Ana area. I sold my home there. I used to have a farm in Barba de Heredia. I sold that as well because I knew I wanted to live this stage in my life here. But I also came with the idea, if you come to a community, very much like your philosophy, Richard, is like if you come to a community, you have to make it better because you're working for your future. So I said, I want to live in a place that's nice to live from now on into my elder years. And so I started looking of what was different in Playa Hermosa, what was lacking. And unlike our neighbors from Playas del Coco and Playa Panama, Playa Hermosa did not have an association, and Playa Hermosa did not have an emergency committee. So I founded both of them. I led the foundation of both of them in Playa Hermosa, and now Playa Hermosa is has even had the recognition of the United Nations, of UNESCO, for being a tsunami-ready community. So when you understand these social instruments that are in Costa Rica, you can get a lot out of a community. So, for example, children from 12, ages 12 and above can conform a specific association, and they can be concerned that they do not have a skate park. And they will receive funds from the government, from this law that allows them to receive funds, that is 2% of the sales tax. Yep. And they can have their own park, and they can manage it, and it can be sustainable because the park gives them an earning because they charge the entry or they're charged for the bathrooms or whatever, for the services.
You know, not even I knew that 2% went back into social work, to be honest with you, Maria Marta, and that you could, again, you know, that if you had a development group in the area, I mean, that's really nice to know, but I think it takes people like yourself that understand the inner workings of that stuff, you know, of that stuff within the government here, you know, and municipalities, of like how that works to get that work done. Because again, Costa Rica is not simple. It's beautiful, but there is, unfortunately, nothing is ever easy. But every so often, you'll be surprised.
So that's what makes my firm different.
Yep.
We are very much involved with the institutions and with all these community things that you can do in Costa Rica. And by just knowing your rights, it's like people are maybe too accustomed to just, okay, how can I deduct from my taxes this, that, and the other? So you look into foundations and opportunities and everything, and you start doing this. And once you have an association, you can link it to foundations. Like, for example, the Costa Rica USA CRUSA Foundation. From CRUSA Foundation, another foundation was born that's called Amigos of Costa Rica. So if you have your association, your association can affiliate with Amigos of Costa Rica, and then the donations that come from expats from the United States or from anybody in the United States are eligible for tax deduction. So all these little nuggets of knowledge of how to handle foundations and social institutions and human rights and everything does make a difference in the investor that comes to Costa Rica, because you're going to say, oh, wow, but to benefit from all of this, you have to live in Costa Rica. But these, they are protected by law, even if they only own in Costa Rica. And they can take a part of this. So if you are an owner in a community or you live in a community, you can benefit from institutions like the emergency committees and the associations of development.
Yeah. Well, let me just change gears a little bit into kind of real estate and investing in that area of the country. I mean, you're up there in Hermosa, Coco. I'm sure that you see it all the time. I mean, what is happening in the real estate market there? Because, I mean, what we're seeing in other areas of Guanacaste is, you know, I mean, we're seeing some heavy price reductions, not in the main areas, but like, you know, on the outside peripheral areas, you know, Potrero, Villarreal, Huacas, you know, Avianas, like not the main Tamarindo, you know, Playa Grande, Flamingo, et cetera, like the cores. I mean, what are you guys seeing just a little bit further north?
Well, here we're seeing the contrary. We're seeing like a rise in prices. We're seeing a lot of movement. We have huge developments coming, a lot of new hotels, chain hotels with a lot of prestige, like the Waldorf Astoria and the Discovery project in Zapotal, et cetera, et cetera. All of these projects are bringing opportunities, because who's going to service these projects? Yeah. Who are going to be the managers? So there's a lot of possibility in investment in real estate, in housing for all of these people that come to work in these hotels, that there's a lot of land here. It's Guanacaste, and specifically the north, has a lot of farmland and a lot of that's just there for construction. And you have beautiful views of the ocean. You have beautiful volcano views. You have beautiful valley views, and you have the possibility to work with urban planning in a way that you don't have in other parts of the country, just because there's so much land.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you guys have pretty good water infrastructure. Well, I say you have pretty good water infrastructure. I'm working with an ASADA up there in Playa Hermosa at the moment. It's not that great. But anyway, in some areas it's great, in some areas it's not. But like, I think out towards Sardinal, you know, all those kind of those areas, you know, it's pretty good out there. So, I mean, I think that that's the one thing that is lacking in Costa Rica, is more affordable living for people that are working, you know, in those areas. And it's everywhere, you know. I mean, a lot of people in, you know, I would say hotel owners and people that work in Osada, Santa Teresa, Tamarindo. Well, Tamarindo, I think you've got a little bit more out in, you know, Villarreal and Huacas, but really around, you know, that area, like it's lacking.
It is, but exactly where things are lacking is where you have the opportunity of business and investment.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of research going on sustainability and what you can do to bring projects and sources of water, and to bring all this nature into the different developments.
Yep.
So if you look into developments that are giving this kind of housing, but it's not only like housing, but it's like full on services. And I'm not talking your typical convenience store and bank teller. I'm talking about things that go beyond that. Like, for example, shelters that are also hotels for, so we are starting to see phenomenons here. And I'm going to give an example, like the amazing La Paz school here in Carrillo, where children that can afford to pay the tuition, families that can afford to pay the tuition, are paying tuition for families that are not so fortunate. Yep. So you're going to see those phenomenons happening in animal care, in schooling, in homes for the elders. So that, for example, elder homes that are like, everybody's looking to very good places who are to have the golden years for their parents.
Yep.
What if that was something with a Costa Rican philosophy that those with in need are helped by those who have the possibility? And yeah. So you have different kinds of institutions. So if you have a urban planning that involves these kind of services, then you're making a difference. And that North Pacific has the potential of this urban planning just because of the size of the lands here.
Yeah.
You practically everything the light touches is your kingdom in Guanacaste.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned something there which was interesting. You mentioned golden years. I think there is a huge opportunity in Costa Rica for that, you know, development that you see up in Florida. That, you know, when you want to move into, I'm not saying a community, you know, and there are certain stages in that, you know, depending on where you are in those golden years. But I think there's a huge opportunity in Costa Rica to do that just because healthcare is pretty good here. But like, you know, the attention that you could get in healthcare as well and just the quality of life and living here in Costa Rica could be interesting. Yeah,
it is interesting. It is interesting because of very good health services and very good health practitioners, and just because of nature giving you help and also this interaction with the community. So what everybody's talking about the blue zones? What is it that makes blue zones places where people live to get to be 100 years? And it's this concept that involves communities in which you have children interacting with pets, interacting with the elders, interacting with the families that have to go to work. So it depends on the kind of person that wants to retire here, because the retiring years are changing. The people that are coming are healthier and living longer and more interested in sustainability and more interested. You see a change. The people that are starting to come into Costa Rica are people that are interested in service, sustainability, community, ocean, forest, nature. Even the elders are changing just because of a different approach to the golden years or to becoming old. It's like those of us who are getting into our 60s, we feel like, really? I don't really feel like I'm going to be 60. I feel like I'm younger, right? Yeah. And I feel like I have a lot of life ahead of me. That's happening to those in their 70s. And that's happening to those in their 80s. See, I didn't realize I was going to have so much energy at this stage in my life. And so it comes to a point where, okay, golf's okay. Golfing is okay, but I'm really enjoying the community fair. And I'm really enjoying being a part of this and going to the community church. And I'm really enjoying the pickleball and I'm really enjoying this. And so it's a great time of opportunity in Guanacaste. The next 10 years are going to be amazing. And it's the place to be.
Yeah.
Of course, we have problems. But now, because again, our social democratic institutions and because of a better law that came into reinforcing our democracy, in which now we got rid of all the corruption. For example, in Carrillo, we had a mayor for 20 years.
Yep.
So Carrillo said no more and corruption is gone. And now we have decent people making things happen, changing the things. And once you see that's possible, then that it's like taking a trunk, you know, taking the piece of wood that was not allowing the water to flow. The water is flowing into better times to come in the Carrillo area, in which you will have much better relationships with the municipalidad into when things are going to flow and it's going to be possible to work and invest in this area.
Wow. I mean, what do you think are some of the misconceptions people have about investing in Costa Rica, Marimar? Beyond it's cheap. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people think Costa Rica is affordable, and it can be in certain areas, but I mean, it's not the country it used to be, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Well, misconceptions always come from expectations, and false expectations come from not doing your homework. And it doesn't make any sense anymore with all the artificial intelligence in hand and with all the information in hand. It's like you can do very specific homework on what interests you and make sure that you don't have the wrong idea when you're coming to invest here. So it depends on what kind of investor you are.
Yeah.
If you are an investor and if your approach is a wholesome one, or you're just only interested in the money rotation. And so, of course, there are areas in which that works, but there are also areas in which you can say, well, I'm going to enjoy this and use it and live the life, because we do have the life here. We do have the life here just because of nature and services and the wholesomeness of Costa Rica. And then when I'm ready to let this go, it's going to sell so quickly. And so it depends on what spectrum you are. Are you just a numbers investor? But we are in the eyes of the world, and we're not only in the eyes of the world of North America and Europe like we used to be, but now we are in the eyes of the world, because we are in the eyes of the world of mainland China and Arab Emirates. So of course we are in the eyes of the world. We're still this beautiful jewel despite everything that's going on, but a lot can be done if you are interested in Costa Rica and you are hands-on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's difficult to make a quick buck in Costa Rica, if that makes sense. It's not like the US where you can just go in and kind of buy something and then kind of, you know, do syndication style deals, etc. Here is...
I completely agree with you. Costa Rica is not a fast buck place.
No.
We're not a fast crop country, but here is where the best hardwood trees are going to grow if you're investing.
I agree. I mean, I think it has to be a long-term investment, but you have to, as you mentioned from the beginning, you have to be part of that community, because this country is built on relationships. Like, you can come here with as much money as you want, but if you don't have a great team and a good network here, you're not getting it done. Like, I mean, you know, I mean, take, you know, I can't even remember his name now, Steve from, you know, the Cacique project. I mean, that took a long time to get moving, you know, the previous owner of AOL. And I mean, that guy's a billionaire. And like, sometimes it's just not that easy in Costa Rica, unfortunately. Like, things take time and you need to be willing to take a 20-30-year vision on big developments.
See, but what things had to do with Costa Rica and what things were the 2008 blow to the world markets and what was COVID? So certain things absolutely have to do, and what was corruption? So COVID happened to all of us. Corruption happens to all of us. But we have a lot of advantages here in Costa Rica. Both, we had a lot of advantages 2008. We had a lot of advantages COVID-wise, and we have a lot of advantages corruption-wise. So what I'm thinking is, my father used to say, Costa Rica is like a funnel. It has a very wide opening and a very narrow escape. Or in terms that some people will get better, this is some kind of a suite Hotel California, right? It's like you check in and it's hard to check out, or you can't check out. But it's like Costa Rica is going to own your heart.
Yeah.
If you come here just with your mind, eventually it will get to your heart. And some things will be frustrating, but it will depend on you and the homework you do for it not to be frustrating, because all of the tools are there. All of the good main things that you need to make it what you want it to be. For me, this is the place of opportunities right now. Guanacaste is the land of opportunity right now, but you have to do your homework and you have to be hands-on. And you have to put your heart and your spirit and your head on it. If you're just, I'm going to drop some money there. You know, I have millions of dollars and I can give some millions of them. You're going to go down the drain.
Yeah.
But if you come here with $100,000, but you bring your heart, then you're going to see them grow.
Yeah. What products do you think are missing in Guanacaste? Like, what type of services, I mean, businesses, products? I mean, people are constantly looking to move or potentially invest.
Parking lots.
Yeah.
We need parking lots. We desperately need parking lots. Absolutely. So forever, when I was a little girl, if you would go to the coast, people built in an intelligent way. Below the house, you would have las lanchas, the boats,
Yep.
and the car.
Yep.
And all the housing was on the second floor.
Yep.
So what are we lacking here? No parking lots. Whoever brings in parking lot is going to make the box here because no parking lot.
Yeah, but you're talking about in main areas though, right? I mean, I can even say it in the point of La Sabana. You know, you see all this development in Roma, so with these towers and stuff, but like, and everyone's parking out in the streets. I mean, if they were just to do a multi-story car park there or something, like it would do really well.
Parking lots, definitely.
Yeah, wow. Never even really thought about that. But okay, Marta, I've kept you long enough, but my last question for you, which I love to ask everyone. If you inherited $500,000 and you had to invest it into a business or real estate in Costa Rica, where would you invest it and what would you invest it in and why?
I would invest it in not that prime real estate that's just like La Jolla type. I have the best view of the whatever, but
Yep.
I would invest it in this housing for the management that services all those high-end housing and hotels, because that's gonna have you're gonna have good tenants. They're gonna be working all day. They're not gonna
Yep.
be damaging your spot. You're gonna make sure that it's always rented. It's gonna be is such nice quality that even if you had to end up living there, you could live there and have a great life, because it's going to be close to the beaches, to the best beaches of the world, to the best volcanoes of the world, to the best vacation or lifestyle in the world, and you see the rotation of the money, and it's going to have all the servicing and good companies that will do that, the cleaning, that maintenance, that everything is going to be. It's going to be professionally handled. You're going to be close to good airports, and then you have a great investment. I definitely do that. I would invest in three or four units in that kind of housing, absolutely, because that's where the opportunity is. That's where, especially if they have good parking.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not a sexy investment, if that makes sense. It's not ocean views or ocean light, but it's an investment,
Ah, okay.
you
Now
know.
you said the perfect word. Now you said the clue word for me.
Yep.
Because if you have, is it Remit? I think his name is Remit. I might have it wrong, but he talks about this. And I have been 2 decades, more than 2 decades, in the offshore investment business. And sexy investments are an illusion. What
Yep.
makes the box is the
The boring ones.
dollar cost averaging, regular
Yep.
savings and investment throughout the year. And this investment, I'm talking in real estate, is that kind of investment. You're not going to make a quick buck here, but you can have solid investments that you're going to sleep well at night, every night, and be at peace. And everything's like just pura vida.
Awesome.
See?
Well, that's a great way to end the podcast, my dear Matt. I really appreciate you taking time to come on. And anyone that wants to get in contact with you, I'll put all your descriptions and contact details down below. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard, for the opportunity. I look forward to to know more about you and the things you do in Costa Rica. Right now, I'm impressed by your Spanish, by everything you've been doing, and by the scope of your influence, because it's nationwide.
Well,
So
thank you.
thank you very much.
Not at all. The pleasure's been mine. Thank you, Maria Marta. I hope you enjoyed that podcast there with Maria Marta Alfaro Chamberlain. It's a different viewpoint when individuals are very integrated in the community there. And I do agree that, you know, I mean, I think in order to invest in Costa Rica, it has to be a little bit more of a long-term focus. And I think her thing of like, look, Costa Rica is like a funnel, like, you know, a lot goes in the top, but not that much exits, you know. And I mean, that's a lot of what we do is just making sure clients are very clear of their exit or exit plans. And whenever I do investments, I'm always thinking about how do I exit this. So it's very important to do that. But if anyone wants to reach out to Maria Marta, you can do down below. All the contact details are there. Guys, again, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please give us a review, thumbs up, just 5 stars there. It's always great to see that. If anyone wants to reach out to us, they can do. They can visit our website, investingcostarica.com. That's investingcostarica.com, or email us info@investingcostarica.com. Quite a few of you are actually reaching out. We're more than happy. We'll chat everything from relocation, development, building, buying condos, remodels. We'll help you in the right direction. point you in the right direction on most things. So you can reach out to us there. But thanks very much for listening, guys, and we'll catch you on the next podcast. Bye.
The number one Costa Rica real estate and investment podcast, bringing you experts from all over Costa Rica.